taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by Ale 81.
LA, a new holiday. LA, it's our drink of tomorrow. LA, it's from another day.
Crisp, clean, LA.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network.
All right, the countdown has begun. It's like the rockin' New Year's Eve here. What do we got? 45 seconds?
30 seconds. 30 on the seconds. Head. 30, on the head. 30 seconds
like,
on the
this
head.
This is like doing the Masters update. 30 seconds.
Yeah, there's like a countdown.
15 seconds. Or better yet, when we're doing the network games and you hear Jim Cutler doing his... attention affiliates. Yeah. The ACC tournament will begin in 30 seconds from Mark.
Yeah.
Pat Kelsey's going to join us, and we're looking forward to talking with the coach of the Cards, who is a very, very busy man, needless to say. And we'll catch him in just a bit. Glad you're with us on this Fast Break Friday. Beautiful day out there. As I was driving in today, almost broadsided a bus with a big mural on the side. It said Clemson football. And I was like, But that's just what they paint on the Clemson bus. It's the softball team.
Oh, right.
They're here
right.
to play the Cards in softball.
There you go.
Yeah. Beautiful night for that.
So yeah, there you go. Absolutely.
All right. So we will be ready to go here in just a matter of moments. Tulio's got a happy face on, so I guess he's entertaining him. Was he entertaining you, Tulio? He was? Oh, very good. Well, here he is. We're delighted to have him join us, the coach of the Cards, Pat Kelsey. Pat, thank you. You know, whenever you have a guest on, you try and be polite, and you say, hey, gosh, thank you for spending some time with us. But in this case, I really am grateful because I don't know how you're squeezing us into your day when I've seen your schedule. You're like the Ted Lasso guy. He's here. He's there. He's every blank and where. He's Pat Kelsey. That is you, my friend. You are going a million miles an hour. So thanks for carving a few minutes out for us. We appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. It's an honor to be with you guys, Bob, Nikki. I don't, geez, I feel like I'm talking to two Louisville legends.
Oh, so, gosh.
Absolute honor, but thanks for having me.
All right, we'll send him a shirt. Send him a T-shirt. send Pat a T-shirt. Hey, I do want to ask you this. You've been coaching for a while. This isn't your first rodeo. This has got to be, though, given the bizarre stature of the whole portal thing and the NIL and the fact that by and large basically you got a whole blank slate. You've never had a preseason off season like this one, have you? This has got to be incredibly unique, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's kind of probably more the norm than the exception, maybe not to this extent where you got to build sort of an entire roster. But you know, it is a new time and a new era. You know, totally different than if you just go back 5 years, 6 years, or heck, even 4 years. In every major industry, whether it's the auto business, whether it's housing, whatever it is, there's shifts, there's seismic shifts that happen from time to time. And the key is being able to adjust and embrace those changes. So, you know, I say it all the time. There's probably a large faction of whether it's coaches in the profession or people in general that, you know, you yearn for the old days, right? This isn't the college athletics, college basketball, college football that I grew up with, that I know and love. But, you know, things change and industries change. And what we've tried to really do, you know, since this seismic shift has kind of happened and occurred with NIL and the transfer portal over the last 3 or 4 years, fellas, is tried to run toward it and tried to adapt, tried to embrace it and tried to be out in front. And use it as much as possible to our advantage. I still consider myself, you know, a young coach. Coach Prosser used to joke about the old guys in the business being dinosaurs, and I don't ever want to become a dinosaur, but I still have a long time left in this profession. I love what I do, and I look at this space and this new opportunity is an opportunity and an advantage. So that's how we're viewing it.
Let's talk about your roster a little bit here. Now, forgive me, but I believe I've got this right. I know when it's a high school recruit, you're not allowed to talk about them publicly until they sign their national letter of intent. But here, they don't do that with guys out of the portal. So I guess it's if they sign their financial aid paperwork or something. So, I mean, I don't know which guys have done that and which guys haven't. So I'm not trying to steer you down a road where you can't talk about guys. But let me start with a generic question I know you can't answer, and then maybe we'll get into some specifics. You clearly look like you have a type, and I mean that as a compliment. You want the, from looking at these guys all, whether they're guards or not, are seemingly willing passers. They like to pass the ball. They're unselfish players. They look like they give you good honest day's effort at the defensive end, and goodness knows you got some shooters in the bunch. So if you put that together, it looks like the other stuff, you know, you'll kind of figure out as you go along. Are those your top priorities, and how do you identify the guys that fit in to the way you want to play?
Yeah, it's a great question, and probably now's not the time to talk specifics because until we kind of get our entire group together, you know, probably won't go as much into
okay.
individuals.
Well, that's
specifics.
Fair enough.
But
that's fine.
But I will say, you know, at this point, you know, we love where we're at, how these pieces are falling together. We are very intentional and specific as to what we look for in a player. You know, I love winners. Right. I love, you know, power of the unit is what we talk about all the time. Within our cultural blueprint, we talk about relentless effort, competitive excellence, and the power of the unit. You know, relentless effort, guys that are tough and that play hard, competitors. I think that's one of the qualities, you know, that I value the most. And then, you know, the power of the unit is guys that are committed to winning. Right. And in this new age, which probably is skewed more and going more toward a professional sports model. Obviously you have individuals just like you do in a professional locker room that have individual goals and aspirations from a personal standpoint. Heck, we all do. We all have egos. But I think the programs, you know, that are going to contend for championships obviously have to sign very talented players that fit their system, but they also have to sign people that are, and bring people in your organization that are willing to give of themselves for the good of the team. I think the programs, the coaches, the staffs, they're going to be able to galvanize groups, create a common mission, a common bond, and fight like heck every day, and have excellence in what you do every day to pursue winning is very much important. You know, obviously there's measurable metrics, statistics that we look at, we value. I'm a baseball guy. I'm from Cincinnati. I love the movie Moneyball, and I read the book Moneyball before the movie, and Billy Beane. I just remember reading that a long time ago, and you know, I just said, man, how can you apply that to basketball? And I think we have our way, we have our metrics, and we've utilized that for the majority of the 12 years that I've been a head coach to identify who fits in our system. But then there's things that you can't measure, Bob, as well, right? Things that are intangible, value, toughness, competitiveness, basketball IQ. Do they make people around them better? And then are they adaptable? Do they have adaptability, right? That's just that thing, that it inside them where games on the line, big moments, that's when they're at their best. It's 4th and 3. Play breaks down. Can you get the stinking first down? So, combination of things that you can measure and things that you can't. You mentioned the pace, or you didn't mention that, but obviously we play at a great pace. We value shooting, but we really value basketball IQ and the ability to pass as well. Yeah. I love guys that can facilitate pass and share the ball.
You know, you talked about adaptability, though, and I think I've heard this from some mutual friend, that when you played against Villanova in the NCAA tournament, the way they played influenced you a bit. And to that end, they played. I mean, there were times when, I guess it was when Jay Wright was there, it looked like they were trying to compete in the 6 foot and under league. I mean, they were tiny, but they spread the floor and they had a bunch of guys who could shoot it. And it impacted you. Are you a walking example of what you're talking about, adapting to, you know, changing your own opinions or outlook? Because you had success. It wasn't like you weren't winning, but you made adaptations, didn't you?
I don't think there was any major shift the time we played Villanova. I mean, we have a philosophy that we believe in, and it's been very, very, very successful for us. And every great program has their deal, right? I think any organization, they have a DNA. They have something at their core that they're about. And there wasn't any type of major shift in kind of offensive or defensive philosophy. I just have so much respect for Coach Wright and did such a deep dive and a study on them going into the NCAA tournament. And, you know, I always say about their teams, the beauty's in their simplicity. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not the most complicated system in the world, but what they do it great. Mm-hmm. You know, Coach Wright read his books, right? Watched his tapes, and amongst other things, I just remember how they make the simple spectacular, right? For instance, their catches, right? Every single catch, he always says you're most open when you first catch the ball. And if you look at his Villanova team's play, they're so attack ready, so shot ready on every single catch. And then they make the simple play. They have what I call 0.8 catches, right? They make quick decisions with the ball. The ball moves, people move. They do so many simple things, but do them well. They play so well off penetration. They play off two in the lane. They're and amongst anything, and this is something that's really at the core of what I believe is, you know, he's a guy that believes that culture eats strategy for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
The strength of the Villanova culture, the belief, the buy-in, whether they had 5 McDonald's All-Americans or not, there was just such a connectivity amongst their team. And I got a lot of respect for him and how he runs his program. And, you know, we try to mirror that. And I thought we tried to mirror that before we even played them. But no doubt, respect the heck out of them. Playing against them even raised that respect level.
Pat Kelsey's with us here. That leads to a question that, before I ask it, it's probably unanswerable, but I'll throw it out there. If that is such an important part of a winning culture and has been for the teams that you've coached, how do you know when you have to bring this many new guys in that they're all going to buy into your culture? How can you ascertain?
Yeah, I mean, you got to peel away the onion, and you'd be amazed at the amount of due diligence. And I don't know if everybody does this, but we sure as heck do. Like, that's why I said it's more than just analytical metrics, and that is obviously a big part of that. You have names that go into the portal, you're pouring through. Over the course of the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it's been since, you know, the portal opened, a lot of names, a lot of numbers, a lot of statistics, and you can comb through it and pull out guys that you think analytically really fit with you. But it's all those other things. How do you find those things out about? You got to make your calls. Mm-hmm. You got to go through the reference check. Not even the given references. You got to call people that just know them, have been around them, and have coached them, and have coached against them. You know, and sometimes it's just off the beaten path of basketball. You know, you talk to the academic advisor. I want to talk to the strength coach. I want to talk to the team doctor. You know, I'm not saying every time we recruit a kid, we're making every one of those calls.
Right.
But you want to find about their makeup, right? Their character, what makes them tick. Are they team oriented? What's the resiliency like? Their toughness, their tenacity, their team oriented approach. So, yeah, I don't know if everybody does it as much as we do, but I can tell you we go to great lengths to make sure we're bringing guys into organization that fit. Talent, obviously huge. Production, obviously huge. but those other things matter.
Well, you talked about it earlier. We can't get into specific guys, but I've heard some names bandied about, and I can only tell you this, having broadcast some of those guys' games during the year, the one other consistency I see, in addition to guys that are willing passers and those other things we talked about, all these guys come from winning programs. You're not involved with anybody who's not coming from teams that won a bunch of games, went to the NCAA tournament. That I gather, is very important to you, and it should be. What do you make of that part of your evaluation?
Yeah, I mean, I think winning guys, it's in your DNA, right? If you come from winning programs, winning cultures, you know what it takes. That's not to say there's not diamonds in the rough. There's winning type kids with winning DNA. They're at a program where maybe their record wasn't the best because of circumstances, because of other things. But I love winners. I love guys, you know, that have that mentality for sure.
To that end, sensitive question, but I get asked all the time, so go right to the source. Did you try to convince any of the players who were on last year's team to stay, or did you want to start from scratch? How did you approach that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I got here, virtually every player was in the portal already, so they were already exploring, you know, their options, and obviously what's best for them as individuals and for their future is the most important thing. And the majority of those guys had already kind of turned their attention to exploring other options. I had an opportunity to meet with the team and then talk to individuals to see what was best for them and what was best for us. But, very appreciative. And I think everybody around here is for the young men that have been on the roster and have been here and what they've done. You know, to serve this university and this athletic department, although the last couple of years have been tough, those young men poured their heart and soul into Louisville basketball, and for that we're very, very appreciative.
Are the two walk-ons coming back, Hersey Miller and McCool, or Aiden McCool, or not? So I get that.
Yeah, all that is kind of still being worked out at this time, and okay. We'll know for sure here over the next several weeks.
All right, fair enough. You know, it would be a great thing to do. I don't know I really don't know any of your staff, and our listeners might not. Can you give us a little heads up on the guys that you put on your staff here and what they bring to the table?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I somebody taught me a long time ago in business, and I think I said this at my press conference. Can't remember if I did or didn't, but you don't necessarily have to be the smartest one in the room, but you better have the smartest room.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a world-class basketball staff that I say all the time I wouldn't trade for the Boston Celtics, LA Lakers, you name it. They are loyal, they're smart, they're tenacious, they're hardworking, they have huge hearts, they're great with young men, they're organized, they are phenomenal at what they do. Brian Kloman's been with me 12 years. He's our defensive coordinator. He huge heart, great recruiter, phenomenal on the floor. Mike Kay, I don't even know if I can say Mike, talk about Mike yet, because as he's international and there's some decent things that have to get finalized, it just takes a little bit more time. But, you know, he'll be coming soon. So I didn't even say his last name. So hopefully
okay.
I didn't
get
in trouble in any way, shape, or form.
You're good.
Thomas Carr was with me at Charleston. Same thing. Just a unbelievably respected coach around college basketball, great recruiter, great mentor, terrific on the floor. Ronnie Hamilton, who came to us from LSU, he was at Ole Miss before that. He was at Middle Tennessee State before that with Kermit Davis when they became one of the best programs in all mid-major basketball, then went to Ole Miss and LSU. Ronnie's terrific coach, terrific person. And Mitch Johnson, our director of basketball operations, future coach, great basketball mind, unbelievably organized. Braden Connor comes from the greatest high school in the United States of America, Elder High School, the Panthers, Altiora, who's our video coordinator. His dad is actually the athletic director at Thomas More College in Northern Kentucky. Jermaine Ukegbu, who is an assistant coach for us, was a captain for me at Winthrop. One of the smartest, most tenacious, nasty defenders that I've ever coached. So strong in his faith. Phenomenal young man. Great mentor. Eli Foy, who I believe is the single best sports performance strength coach in the United States of America.
Wow.
And he's a game changer for us. There's no strength coach that is more valued by a head coach. He is also my chief of staff, which is crazy. How many strength coaches around the country are the chief of staff for their head coach? His ability to connect with young men, move their hearts. You see transformation of the bodies of the players that we've had over the last several years, even grad transfers that come in for 1 year, makes them stronger, changes their body composition, keeps them healthy, and makes them more athletic than they've ever been before. Secret weapon. And I'm trying to think who the heck. Peyton Seva.
Yeah.
Maybe the most decorated player in the history of Louisville basketball. I mean, obviously, there's guys that have gone on and had longer NBA careers and things like that. But when you talk about one of the most beloved Cardinals of all time, and a lot of it is just because his makeup and his DNA, he was a great player. He's a McDonald's All-American. He was a national championship point guard. But his personality and his energy is infectious. He's beloved by the basketball alumni at the University of Louisville. He's beloved in the community. And just an unbelievable addition to our staff. And I'm so darn excited about him. Tom Polo, I got a couple other, another international guy who I can't talk about yet. So I'll take the hire. Sorry. And if I'm missing somebody, I'm going to be
upset. That was pretty good.
I don't know if this is all that you wanted, but
that was pretty good.
I have an unbelievable staff, and Bob, holy cow, do they work hard.
Do they all do everything, or do you partition it? Like, will they all do game prep and recruiting?
That's a great question. Great question. So, you know, the NCAA allows three off-campus recruiters, right? But then there's recruiting responsibilities that are allowed by other people on the staff that can't go off-campus to recruit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's Brian Clome and Ronnie Hamilton and Thomas Carr, elite at what they do. And we have two other assistant coaches on the floor, one being Jermaine Okegbu, the other one is a gentleman I can't talk about yet. But we break our staff down, Bob, kind of like a full staff, where I do have defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, and then kind of special teams coordinator. So Brian Cloman and Jermaine Okegbu kind of oversee our defense. Brian's been doing that for 10 years.
Wow.
Calls our ball screen coverages in practice. That is 100% of his focus. He doesn't coach offensive concepts during practice. It's all about our defense. Jermaine, the same thing. And then offensive coordinator is the gentleman that, that has been with me a long time that isn't hired yet.
To be named, the player to be named later.
Player to be named later. I don't even know if I'm maybe because it's not a player recruit. I'm guessing I can talk about him, but I won't, just in case. So, you know, and then obviously everybody else has individual responsibilities, from the operations guys to the video guys and things like that. And we say 25 strong in an organization, and I think all great organizations can define with great clarity what their purpose is. And we say 25 strong, that's everybody in an organization striving every day to do what they do with excellence and be the best in the country at what they do.
Well, I always like to give the listeners a chance to ask like one kind of non-basketball question, so I picked this one from the ones that our texter sent us. Texter said, can you ask Coach Kelsey, has he been surprised by anything about the Louisville community since he's been here? Pleasant surprise, he actually is what he wrote here. Anything pleasantly surprise you about your short time here in incorporating yourself into the Louisville community?
Well, it's a wonderful community, and people take so much pride in this place. There's so much love for Louisville, the people that are from here that have moved here. I mean, Peyton Seva's from Seattle, and he just gushes when he talks about the fabric of this community, the closeness, the love of the University of Louisville. So I knew that going in, that it was a place with great pride and obviously passion for collegiate basketball, for Louisville basketball, and then in the state, obviously, where basketball is an absolute religion. But I will say I was actually surprised that it was at the level it was. I mean, I say all the time, man, I am no big deal. I'm Joe Bag of Donuts. I'm Harvey Sweat Sox, right, from the west side of Cincinnati. But gosh darn, I go out in the community, and it's like people's excitement for Louisville basketball, and the number of selfies I take and high fives I give, and I love it. I love it. You want to be somewhere where people are that stinking passionate, and it fires me up to no end just to know you know, obviously, like we mentioned, the last couple of years have been a little difficult around here. But when this deal gets going, you can just feel the lid getting ready to get blown off this place. And 22,000 at the Yum Center. It's just so exciting, and it fires me up, and it makes me stare at the ceiling at night, not fall asleep, to reestablish that and to get that going here in this great town.
Well, I, God willing, knock wood here, will have lots of chances to visit with you before and after games coming up this season. I look forward to it. You have made a tremendous impression early. I'm loving the kinds of players that I hear the names being bandied about. Like I said, your type, if you will. I think that it's going to be fun to watch and very successful and very effective, and your energy level is certainly infectious. So thank you for taking a few minutes for us, and I look forward to getting a face-to-face with you in the near future, Pat. Welcome aboard.
I appreciate it. I mean, I have a face for radio, so it's probably better we do radio than TV.
I do have to ask about those glasses, though, Pat. What's the deal with those glasses? What is the? Was that a fashion statement, or what was that all about?
First, they help me see. So let's start there. That's what those glasses are about. People that have impaired vision put these things called glasses on. So that's that. Now, the style of them, if you don't like them.
No, I didn't say that.
I love you and everything, Bob. I care more what my wife thinks.
No, I like them.
Attracted to me is the most important thing. She loves them. So I don't know. When I got them, I whatever the actor is, is it Reynolds? Something Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds.
I was looking at glasses. Like, okay, what should I get? And so Lisa sent me, she goes, well, Ryan Reynolds wears kind of glasses that are a little bit out there, and it might be going out on a ledge that maybe a little bit too far. And I said, what the heck, I'll try them. And it's kind of become my thing a little bit. So I got crushed at the press conference because I adjusted them too much. Everybody kept saying, tighten your dang glasses. And I'm like, mind your dang business. You know? So I did head out the Lens Crafters. I'm giving them a little shout out. I have no idea why. They give me no type of kickback. They tighten these bad boys. I ordered another one, and we'll see. Some people are like wearing them around town. I saw a stinking T-shirt with PK's glasses on them with the word Revival on it.
Nice. If you could tell me I could wear a pair of glasses and make my wife think I look like Ryan Reynolds, I mean, I'd wear feathers in my hair. I don't care. That's in strong play out of you. So good work. That's all I can tell you. So, all right, buddy.
The only one that worries me a little bit. She always thinks he's really cute. It drives me nuts.
Come on.
He's a good friend of mine. That's my guy. But, like, we used to have him come to speak to our kind of preseason kickoff deal at Charleston, but I kind of nixed that because Lisa kept mentioning.
Wait a minute. You're friends with Ryan Reynolds?
No, Jay Billis.
Oh, well, Jay Billis doesn't wear glasses like that. Ryan Reynolds does. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know how we went down that wormhole, but we'll get out of it now.
Where are we going right now?
And we're going to say goodbye to you and let you get back to work. Thank you, my friend.
It was fun, though.
It was a pleasure. Absolute pleasure to have you on.
Go Cards. L's up. See you guys soon. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thanks again.
See you.
Yep. When did Jay Billis get in that discussion? I thought he said Ryan Reynolds.
No. There was a split second. I think you guys talked over each other.
But he said Ryan Reynolds.
He said Ryan Reynolls was.
Well, yeah, I thought I wanted to make sure Jay that Billis. He didn't originally say Ryan Reynolds.
No.
If he said Jay Billis at the very first
thing, I interpreted it as
Ryan Reynolds. I know disrespect. No. Jay's a fine looking man, but
I feel like I've seen Jay with glasses occasionally. Does he ever rock the?
I don't think the Clark. Those are my. I call them the Clark Kent glasses.
The Clark Kent glasses. Yeah. I look. I need an eye exam. I might be getting some PKs.
I mean,
might be getting some PK glasses.
That was a great line. It was like, dude, I didn't even say I don't like them, but it's true. Even if I did say that, your wife says, you know, Ryan Reynolds wears those. What the? You kidding me?
Yeah, right.
Your wife's going to see you in an with a Ryan Reynolds filter. I don't care. What do you need? A cantaloupe on my head? Sure, not a problem. What do you need? That's not even a problem. So
that was awesome.
No, he's a good guy. He's good. He's good peeps. He's good peeps.
He knows what to do. Just go Cards, L's up.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's get back to it.
He called me a Louisville legend.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only thing that made him lose credibility.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't know if I like this guy anymore.
that's
his eye for talent. I don't know.
you can mock it if you want recruiting. To. I'm not thinking of being falsely modest, but I mean, he may very well, I mean, all the games I've done and everything, he probably knows at least my name, but I'm always impressed when people go on radio shows and they take, I try to do that. I get a little pad. In fact, write it down. When I'm on a station somewhere, I don't really know who the hosts are.
Right.
So you write down, I always ask, who am I on with today? You know, it's Ted and Margarita. Okay. So I put that down. So
right.
I come on and they say, Bob, thanks for being with us. You can say, hey, Ted, Margarita, nice to be with you today. Because I always like that. You know, I always give you that look when the guy signs off with us, says, okay, guys, thanks. And I go, yeah. Bago. He's a bago.
Well, yeah, you know, like he doesn't know.
Take 2 seconds to learn it. It's one, two syllables. Bob, Nick. You know, that's all it is.
Learn. But yeah, you know what? Let me grant you your argument. Like the fact that he acknowledged little me speaks volumes to who he is
that's
as a person.
That's what I mean. That's, yeah. He's a good guy. He's good peeps. And I'm telling you, though, the man's got a vision of how he wants to play. And I'm digging the kinds of guys he's bringing in. Obviously, we couldn't get into some specifics. That's fine. I expected. I thought we might be able to talk about one or two guys, like even the guys coming with from Charleston. But I appreciate the fact. And I also appreciate the fact that it's such a different landscape out there that, you know, people who are in charge of the portal, the guys who are in charge of the, not the portal, the NIL, I mean, you know, I assume most of the listeners know this because everybody around here is so dialed into college sports. But the collective, if you will, the NIL group for I think it's all schools, is technically not part of the university. It's not under the university's umbrella. It's its own independent.
Yeah, it's its own entity.
So,
yeah.
You know, some of the things that have to be done in terms of getting the players signed and the paperwork done, everything goes through them, and it doesn't go through him. And now, having said that, I'm sure they're not willy-nilly offering NIL deals to players he doesn't want. But the point is, I think he was very reluctant to talk about anything that wasn't they hadn't formally released yet. I don't think you get in trouble for doing anything with a coach. That, I mean, whether it's a...
I'm not sure.
You know, I don't, never heard that before. But
just to be safe.
I agree. Appreciated that. So that was fun. Very, very fun. He looks like he's going to be a lot of fun. So to hear Coach Kelsey talk about basketball and philosophy is so refreshing and awesome. We haven't had that for the last couple of years. I not to keep burying Kenny, but it's true. He didn't help himself very much when, you know, we would do the interviews and stuff. It was hard to get stuff out of him. This guy looks like he's going to be fun to talk to, which is fun. So we'll see. Haven't won any games yet. They're off to a good start, and there's still so many more things we want to find out about. He's got to get a team in place first. Then I want to see what they're going to do about the schedule.
How many spots do they have left? I mean, he's got 8 guys, well, 7 of which are eligible.
And he's so got the 2 walk-ons, assuming it's McCool and
Hersey.
And Hersey.
That yeah, but him, are you allowed 15 players on the roster or 15 scholarships?
You can put as many as you want on the roster.
Yeah, so
you just can't. It's just the scholarship.
So he's got 6 more scholarships then, right?
15 scholarships. I think it's 15. I'm pretty.
Or 7 more. He's got 7 more. Right.
He's got 8 players on scholarships, 7 of which are eligible.
Right.
So he's got 7.
He's got 7 left. Right.
Yeah, I think so. We'll see where it goes.
Four 3 7 9 6 8 UPS jobs text line
coming in.
What do we got? It's so great to have internet again. By the way,
oh man, you aren't kidding. I don't know how we did radio without it before.
Yeah, that was the first question I asked Nick when I saw it came in, and I was like, "We have Pat Kelsey on." Yeah, I was like, "Do the phones work?"
No, I thought about that too.
Once I found out he was calling in.
No, I mean, if you've heard, I don't want to get into too many specifics. Not like I know, but I'm just saying I don't know how much it's my business to. But I do know from very credible sources the work schedule that he's been doing is preposterous.
Does he ever sleep?
Oh my God! Well, evidently not, because he says he lays in bed, looks at the ceiling, and thinks about, you know, should I do this? Should I do that? But you know,
nice.
Get
some sleep though when the season starts.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. He looks like he looks like he's got the metabolism of a hummingbird. You know, he's just going to go.
naturally caffeinated.
Texas,
as
I think
say.
It's 13 scholarships. Is that what it is for basketball? Is it 13 now? I don't know.
For men's, I don't know. Yeah, you know, it might be.
Yeah, 13, that's right.
Because women get 2 more.
15 for women.
Yeah, women get 2
correct.
More.
Thank
that's
you,
right.
Texter. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
13 scholarships in men's basketball. So there you go.
So he's got 5 scholarships left, if math serves me correctly.
Texter said, I was dying to hear PK talk about the players, but considering how our previous violations, I'm ecstatic that he was playing it safe. Yeah, and I don't blame him. That's why true. I said I wasn't going to try and grill him on that. Well, you can talk about this guy. I mean, I'm pretty certain I could have brought up the Charleston guys, but I don't even want to take a chance. It's irrelevant because you know the people that are being rumored, and we're 99% sure of the ones that we said we're 99% sure of. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with JQ. We don't know the high school player. He's going to take some other visits. But the portal guys, I'm pretty confident. I am sorry, and I'll look forward to, you know, we'll try. I'm going to badger the hell out of the guy. I'm not going to do that. But when they do make the signings official, quote unquote, I'd like to have him back on. And then we'll talk about the players. Because I did see so many of these guys that are being rumored.
Right.
You know, that that I would love to pick his brain and say, I saw this, I noticed this. And they've done nothing but get better and better, the caliber of players that they're signing. It's really, really impressive. So, I did games on TV for ESPN for, I don't know how many years, 10, 12 years, and then they started to put together a radio package. They had never done that. You want to know the whole reason the radio package came about? Isn't it funny how you talk about from adversity comes advantage for me? You remember the year that the NBA went on strike? And they had all this advertising they had sold for the NBA games on ESPN Radio. And now they had no games. So they said, well, let's put together a college basketball package. And so I'd been doing the only college basketball that they'd done, which was basically the Jimmy V Classic.
Right.
And so then they put together a college basketball thing, and they found, holy cow, we could sell this. And so the NBA came back, and now they had all their NBA analysts go back to work with the NBA. And so they were like, well, who's going to do the college games? And so I was lucky enough to get that gig. And so it took away a lot of my TV games because, like, when I do the ACC tournament, that was always the week that we would do – championship weekend. So I would have like the Big Sky championship and the, you know, the Big West. That's how I got to know Dan Munson, for example. So all that went away, which was a shame to some degree. But instead, and people say, well, you lost, you know, the TV stuff. And yeah, it's true. I mean, if it's that big a deal to you, that and the fact that a lot of the games now went to the local, you know, the packages. They used to do things
with ERT.
Yes, and that went away. So, but because of that now, I mean, all these power, you know, I had Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Baylor, Texas. Every game was nationally ranked teams. Carolina, you know, it's just Kansas. Kansas, Houston, I had them twice. I'm not doing it to drop names. I'm just saying it really hit. It was disheartening, to be honest. I got to be honest with you. To go from a once proud program like Louisville and to see the level that at which they were playing, and then the next day I'd go that weekend, you know, and see Creighton or Alabama or Carolina, NC State putting the run together that they did at the end of the year, the whole ACC tournament. It was just I remember I came back from the air, and keep in mind, Arizona didn't even make a deep run in the tournament. But I remember coming home and talking about it on the air. It was depressing, if you were a fan, which I am, in addition to being a broadcaster, to think that's the level that we're supposed to be competing at. They were 20 exits ahead of us on the highway. You know, it was tough. But why that's relevant to what's going on now, rather than say, well, stop talking about the past, is because in a lot of these games, there are guys that apparently are close or we're 99% sure are coming to Louisville. And just for me, I like that because I'm not just going off of reputation and, oh, the potential, you know, a high school kid. No knock on that. But I've seen these guys. I've seen these guys against really good competition. I've seen what they do. And I've seen the multifaceted skill set they bring to the table, and I say that's his type. I say, yep, man's got a type. He wants guys who can pass the ball, that you can trust to pass the ball, and are going to be willing passers, and got some shooters. We're not going to live and die with one guy making shots. You know, we're going to have other guys make shots. And I think he was very diplomatic about talking about the players, that he met with them all individually, and I think there might have been one, two, maybe, that if they really were hell-bent on coming back, he might have, you know, pursued it in some detail. But as he said, I think by the time he really got into that, most of them were pretty much looking to go elsewhere. And then there were others, I think, that may have wanted to come back there. Quite candidly, he's too diplomatic to mention. They just don't fit that skill set that he was talking about. So you got a whole new roster on the way. It's going to be it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, not because I think they're going to be great. Not that I think they can't be very good, but you know, it's kind of like they always talk about people. Hey, I want to get in on the ground floor. Well, this is the ground floor here to watch this thing, you know, get built brick by brick. As a fan, for me anyway, going to be a lot of fun. All right, we missed our bottom of the hour break, but we'll take it now. And we thank Pat for joining us. That was very, very nice. He's got a good way about him too. He's got a nice sense of humor, which I don't have a lot of use for people to know. Just got to be honest with you. Oh, my. All right, we'll go on. We'll roll on. Thanks for being with us. ESPN 680, 105.7.
Munseva into a hard screen. Bobbles the dribble. Hancock goes after. Can't get it. Blackshear does. Gives to Seva. Lobs it. And a slam power dunk by Harrell. And just like that, Louisville has the lead.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday. Presented by L81.
L.A., the soft drink of tomorrow. L.A., a new kind of taste. L.A., the soft drink of tomorrow. L.A., it's from another place.
Crisp, clean, L.A.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network.
So, again, if you missed it, go to the podcast and you'll hear our brother... lengthy visit with Coach Pat Kelsey. Really enjoyed it.
Do we want to replay that?
I don't know. We can. I mean, he was really good. He looks like we're going to have some fun. I just tweeted that. It looks like we're going to have some fun with this guy because he's got a good way about him, but he doesn't. He answers the questions. He talked basketball. He gives you details. He's got obviously a guy has a real vision of how he wants his team to play. He's must be a very good motivator because he's motivating just to listen to in an interview. So God knows what it's like in the locker room with his players. And he's got a good way about it. It was funny at the end. We talk about his glasses, which was funny. At least he made me laugh. I thought it was funny. And I like him. I think he is off to a dazzling start. And we'll see where we go from here. So he's working his brains out, I can tell you that. So that's a good start for Coach Kelsey, no question. They got all these stanchions, what do they call them? The horses, the wooden horses outside. And I didn't know why. What do you call those? Sawhorses.
Yeah,
the sawhorses. well, not horses, because people are like, wooden horses. That's
no, I'm just thinking of the Ted scene where he gets kidnapped and he goes, all right, what kind of house is this? Is it a PS4 or a wooden rocking horse family? Walks into the room and just sees a wooden rocking horse. All right, there's my answer.
What's that for? Oh, Ted.
Ted, yeah.
You said Ted, my hand, I'm thinking Ted Lasso. I was like, I don't remember that. But it reminds me because I couldn't figure out why, and then they told me they're doing the race here, right? The mini marathon.
Oh, right, yeah.
Goes right past us, and I guess for the people who have to work the weekend shows,
there's
a problem. They don't know where to park, and they don't know because
our poor boy Whitesy's got the victory formation show tomorrow. Yeah,
better take a knee, and then just maybe
I was say where's it in.
Because I was in Portland. Pretty sure it was Portland. I think this is hilarious. I had done a game the night before. It was Portland. And then now I was supposed to fly out. That was Saturday night game. I was supposed to fly out Sunday morning. Well, I didn't know this. I'm not from Portland. They had a mini marathon or a marathon or whatever scheduled for that Sunday morning. Which, okay, big deal. Except for the fact that the race route went right in front of the hotel that I was staying in.
Right.
And went, it was like that road that went in front of the hotel went, I don't know, 8 miles long. And that was the route that they all ran. So it was closed. I had to get across that road to get to the airport.
Oh, geez.
So I get the car and I was like, I got to get to the airport. They were like, that's just what they said. Oh, geez, I don't know. I was like, what? You know, you may have to go to Seattle.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I was like, that was one of those bizarre trips. It wasn't a very long trip to the airport and it must have taken me 45 minutes. I was afraid I was going to miss the plane because I'm not from there. I don't know where I was going. I don't even remember. I must have had an app on my phone, but
that's one of those
bizarre because you literally it's not like they stopped the runners so you can go,
right.
You couldn't get across. So that's what it's probably going to be like here for the people trying to park to get to work.
I'm so happy I don't have the weekend shift anymore for numerous reasons, but tomorrow is one of those days where, I mean, I remember I was working at one time and Drew Diener was actually running in it. And Drew was running in it? Yeah, and a couple of his running mates came running into the studio, grabbed a bottle of water, ran out. I was
that
like,
must have hurt their time.
I was like, oh, hey, what up, VP? Here I am, like, running, like, a day Reds game or something like that. And he just gives, he's like, sup, Nick, runs in, grabs water, and just ran back out. Yeah. And I was like, ah, good for you guys.
That's impressive. Take advantage. Speaking of running, we will be at the track where the horses are running next week. There's going to be a number of programs that are live from Churchill Downs. They're going to be on the backstretch early in the week. I guess Drew Dean is going to be there and Louie's going to be there. But then we'll be out there for Thurby. Looking forward to that. We kind of do that every year. We do that one day you get to broadcast from the it's outside. There's a broadcast location set up outside. And great fun. So the Derby fever. I got fever, and it can only be put out with more cowbell or whatever he says in that.
Yeah, they got a fever and what is the actual line?
We'll go see if we can say.
I got a fever, and the only cure is more cowbell.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Good work out of you, Tulio.
Good job.
You know, that's one of like the first major deleted YouTube videos. I don't know why.
Why'd they delete
really?
It?
Why?
I think it was like the copyright issue.
Oh, wow.
But I think it's got back
up. Oh, it's definitely back up. Here's the whole bit from Saturday Night Live.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
I was going to say, I thought he says prescription, but I wasn't sure. That's what was throwing me off. Okay. I don't know if it's the allergies or what. Well, have you been having allergies?
No joke. When Story was on, I had my mic off, obviously. And I think I sneezed 10 times.
I ran back
and I was like, "Sonny, I have an allergy pill. I can't breathe."
I got woken up like 15 times last night because my sinuses got so bad.
You get that
drip thing that you feel like you're choking to death. And I think it's allergies too. Damn it.
Well, poor Rummage had it, and I mean, he just came back from Florida, so I'm not sure if it was, you know, he's battling, you know, the Florida allergies or what, but I don't know. Like,
I think there's something here, like Kentucky or Louisville. Well,
they always talk about the Ohio Valley crud or whatever they talk about, so there's something.
I haven't been feeling too cruddy, but it has, like, I have had maybe some issues, like, breathing at night.
That's not cruddy in your mind?
No, that's not, but it's not so much.
I feel good. I can't breathe. I'm going to suffocate to death, but I'm feeling good.
Well, I don't know, but like.
It's a good day, though.
Okay. I've been just feeling fuzzy, like everything fuzzy. Like brain fuzzy, you know, like maybe a little snorfy. Just everything feels a little fuzzy.
Okay.
And I could not remember Tony Kornheiser's name. Like, I was reading something online, and they said, you know, it was Tony Reale. They had a photo of Tony Kornheiser at a Nationals game, and he put up TK me out to the ball game, you know, take me out to the ball game and everything. And I was like, Tony.
Wow, you're too young.
Tony.
That happens to me all the time.
And I kept saying Tony Khan. And I kept saying Tony Kukoc.
Or Tony Kanaan, the driver.
And that would have been
Tony
a good one.
Tony Kukoc, yeah.
And my brain, and I was
power
like,
forward.
I was like, Michael. And so I was like, okay, so what do you do when you can't, you know, you're just feeling fuzzy? I'm like, okay, well, you know, say something to spur it on. And I'm like, I've read his book, Tony Kukoc. He's on with Michael Wilbon, PTI. And he's
Tony
Khan. And I just was like, and I had to look it up. My brain shut down so much I could not remember.
You are definitely a young
Did
man.
Tony Hawk pop up in your head?
No. It was just Tony Khan and Tony Kukoc. I wish I would have said Tony Kanaan. That would have been another good one. Another TK. But I could not remember.
You tell how young you are that you would. I'm not being nasty here, but that is so out of the ordinary for you that you would think it's worthy of mentioning on the air. Come in my world, I go through that like four times a day. I mean, that's what we all do.
What happened last night too, but like when it happens at the restaurant, it's usually because two things. One, I'm dehydrated or I'm memorizing 14 other orders. Because I don't do this to brag. It is simply just self-preservation. But
oh, he's
No.
This guy's bragging.
If it's less than six people at a table, I don't write anything down.
Oh, yeah. He's got a big memory, big brain.
No,
this guy's bragging.
No. No, it's not.
Why wouldn't you write it down?
Because, well, two things. One, I'm lazy. And the other reason, though,
when you like to get the orders wrong.
When I write it down, when I write it down, I rely on the paper.
Yeah, that's why you write
it. No. It goes in one ear and goes out the other. And when I'm rushing, sometimes then I can't read what I wrote down, or I'll lose the paper. And it's not.
How do you lose the paper? It's on a.
It's a pad.
Is it because, not on a pad?
Because
yeah.
You don't understand. I am like a whirling dervish when I'm serving, and so I might lose the paper. It might get wet. You know, I'm washing my hands constantly.
You survived as a server for all these years.
So
let me get this straight. If he writes it down, he can't read it. He often doesn't write it down. If he writes it down, he's liable to get the papers so wet he can't see it.
Or lose it.
Or he might lose it. Between your table and the kitchen, the thing might just vanish. Hey, hi, folks. I'm back again. Hey, can you run that back?
And so, like, now if it's a bigger table, I'm not stupid. I have to write it down. But if it's usually if it's in the 4 to 5 range, I can memorize everything. And I'm not great. I do forget things every now and again. But I bet probably about 900. Like 950.
You're supposed
nine
to get
to
the orders right, Nick. It's one of our jobs.
I would say probably write stuff down, Bat. 1,000.
I know. It's a bad habit. It's a terrible habit. But I've just learned to adapt to it. You remember the old Looney Tunes? Every shift at the restaurant is da 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 da. Yeah, I've got like 14 plates spinning at any given time. So yesterday, I couldn't remember the name of my GM when somebody asked me.
That's tough.
So Miles, who's the nicest guy on the planet, somebody was like, "Oh yeah, I know your GM," and I was like, "Oh yeah, I love
that guy.
I love my guy." And I was just like,
"You know, I could not
remember his name."
Chuck Wilson, who for old time ESPN radio listeners would know, is one of the original hosts, legendary host. If he broadcast with you,
right,
he would get a piece of adhesive tape and he'd write your name on it and put it on the counter between the two of you.
Really?
So he could look down and see your name. He didn't want to take a chance on say, "Well, what do you think about that, Ned, Norm?"
That's Nelly? A good idea. Yeah. And like I'm saying, I'm not saying it necessarily to brag. Now sometimes a table every now and then would be like, "How do you remember all that?" And I'm just like,
"But I
don't write
that.
It down because I swear I lose it. I make it harder for myself."
There was a guy I loved. When you play Division III sports in the South, like I did, you travel to a lot of very small cities. That's where your opponents are,
right?
And so you see, and especially we're playing our games. You're not traveling during the week much. The games were all Fridays and Saturdays, so you get the weekend shift. So for the people who are going to do the weekend shows here tomorrow, don't take this personally, but generally they're not the established, crew. So you're there on a Saturday, and we're watching one night, and the guy who's the sports guy, to the anchor's credit, and I give him credit for this, he just let the guy absolutely twist in the wind. The guy, he says, if you're throwing it to me, the guy says, "And so that's it for the sports tonight, Bill, Ben, Bob, Bill, Ben.
Baxter."
And he is just looking at him. He's just sitting there looking at him. He's not frowning. He's just looking at him. He said, "Bill, nah." And then the guy actually says on the air, "Oh, they got so many damn new people here, I can't keep track of them all." So the great part is, as they're getting ready to go off the air, the anchor, they'll do. So that about wraps it up for us. So on behalf of, the weather girl, on behalf of Margaret and Joe, and then he points and he says, "And oh, what's his name?" This is... This is Wilson Johnson who I'm saying goodbye. I was like, that is a masterpiece of television right there.
Oh, man. Where was this? I wonder if we could find this.
No, it's such a... I guarantee you it's not anywhere. This is way, way before there was YouTube and everything like that. This is...
Did you see Charles Barkley last night, by the way?
What him do?
They did a spoof when he did his guarantee.
Oh.
They had a power outage at everything. But it was a bit. But he got mad at LeBron. Did you see this?
Well, he guaranteed the Lakers were going to win.
No. He got mad because it was 1:19 in the morning, and they were waiting for LeBron to do like a post game media appearance. And so if you could find the soundbite, I retweeted it, Tanner, but it's just, so Charles Barkley is just like, he's like, we got things to do. He's like, what are we doing here? Like, it's so funny.
At least he remembered his name. Nick trying to memorize his table's order might be the worst career strategy I've ever heard of.
I get it. Somehow I get away with it for the most part, but it's not something I'm proud of. And it's not something like
You're messing with your own tips. Texas says, do I still have to tip when Nick messes up my order? No, that's the truth. I mean, somebody, if that were me, I would, whatever I normally tip, I would reduce it because you didn't do your job at the highest level.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Kind of douchey, but
Texter
fair.
Says, no, it's not. Texter says Ted Koppel. TKs. Now we got old people saying us TKs. Ted Koppel.
That's a good one.
Terry, what was
it? Ted Knight from Mary Tyler Moore.
Ted Knight. Good choice there. Ted Koppel. I don't know why that would be a fun game, but people will want to play that. Tommy Cronin. Tommy, there's a Tommy Crone something. Oh, no, that's a... I know these things. They get stuck in your head. Very good Swedish singer. He does like old standards and stuff. The guy's really good. Tommy Kron, I forget his last name. I was looking up. He's a
but he was a Swedish like crooner,
he's
just
good,
a Swedish like pop singer.
He does. I'm going to play 2 seconds of a song before you mock me because you'll realize how wonderful the song is. what did you just say, Tulio?
No, he has the video of. Yeah, go ahead and play the Charles Barkley soundbite. Okay.
There were 130 paint points between two teams tonight. Just 30
What's
from
wrong?
3-point land. What's up?
Are we just going to stay on TV till LeBron come out the shower?
No, we've got
because you know we got stuff to do.
We like Shaq.
It's 119.
Like Shaq and a fool.
Are we just going to sit here until LeBron get your ass out the shower?
That's impressive.
The clip before it, they like everyone else is talking and they just zoom in on Charles and Charles looks so defeated. It's like I want to go home. This is the worst.
Got things to do.
He does.
1 o'clock in the morning, for God's sake.
That is one of the finest sports
programs. I don't know why
I'm
sure
awesome.
That some it pisses some people off, but
I love it.
I can't get mad at Charles, and I say Charles like word, but I'm seriously he used to come to Jimmy V every year, so we got to know him. Well enough. He used to run a golf tournament for Sonny Smith at VCU. Sonny was his coach at Auburn. So when he went to VCU, Charles would come and play in the Jimmy V, and then he would fly up to Richmond to play in Sonny Smith's tournament. And he was nice enough to ask me and some other people to go also. So we flew in his little private plane. And that's where, if to this day, if you see Trey Wingo, he still laughs about that because it was a tiny little plane. And it was like... You know, Charles's A-list celebrities from the NBA were in there, and me and Trey Wingo. And I said, Trey, do you realize if this plane goes down, we'll be lucky if we get in the story by like the sixth paragraph.
Oh.
Also killed in the wreck were
two others.
You know, Troy Wingo and Bill Valudno. You know, it'll be one of those deals. So it was, but he was. I was doing the show for at that time. The show was on WHAS. And it was a big deal at that time. There were all these big name sports celebrities. So I brought the equipment down there, and had it set up on the table. And John Saunders, may rest in peace. He was kind of one of the reasons that Charles came on. At that point, I didn't really know Charles that well, but Saunders did. So he's on with us, and I this was not the thing we have now, the little unit. So it was kind of the big. Unit that you used to have to take on these remotes. You probably don't even remember this because it was way before, you know.
Is it an even bigger Comrex unit?
Oh, much bigger. It was very big. It was like, I'm showing Nick the size of this notebook that I
was it like the
games.
Like the gray and turquoise one?
Yeah, like something about
yeah,
that
yeah, I think
size.
I remember seeing that. That thing okay. was like big. Two N64s it's for big. Those of you playing at home.
Okay, so it's on the it's on the desk, and Saunders sitting next to me. And then me, and then so in other words, basically in the middle of Saunders and Barkley. And Barkley's telling the story, and I know he's doing this on purpose just to scare the crap out of me because this is expensive equipment. I've just kind of started doing the show to HAS, and they're trusting me with it. Okay, let's remember, you know, your package. And he is pounding the equipment with his hand. Then I went and told him, you have to go here. And I am like, Charles, and he was just loving scaring the living crap out of me. He was I mean, Charles is a big fella, and he is wailing on it. He looks like he's hitting volleyball spikes. Thank you, Charles. Damned amusing. You're damned amusing.
This is where again?
At the Jimmy V Golf
Classic. Jimmy V?
In Raleigh.
He's just beating the crap out of your equipment.
Whacking the snot out of it with his making a point. He was funny as hell, too, even then. Talking about, you know, frankly, he was like it. He never, it's not anything necessarily to be proud of, but like that he was like made no bones of the fact that he just had no interest in the academics at Auburn. He barely went to class. The whole thing was just to keep him eligible to play, and that was the whole bottom line. And like, if you youngsters out there in the listening audience,
I just remember the one year we were at the Jimmy V. He yelled out to everybody, anyone who wants a burger, get in my car.
And he took
a bunch of strangers, and we were like, okay, that's funny. And then we left the golf event, and we were like, you know what? We could go for a burger. And we went to a Burger King that was right there. And the lady said, you'll never guess, Charles Barkley just came by.
A car full of people.
And it was like, oh, wow, he really did that.
Texter says Tom Kite, the golfer. Very nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Texter says, I bet his brother writes the orders down perfectly.
Probably would.
I got to admit, they
it's
do
not
have,
something I'm proud
they
of.
Have turned that into a great show. Texas, I'm not a big NBA guy, but I always watch the TNT show, and I got to confess.
No, inside
Ernie,
the NBA.
Ernie Johnson does a masterful job of serving as the ring leader there in the circus. And, you know, every once in a while when they're not completely screwing around, they bring up some good basketball stuff, but they're damn funny and damned entertaining. And
they got some good personalities.
Yes, they really do.
Kenny, Shaq, Charles. Yeah. Yeah, Ernie does a good job.
What's Kenny's nickname?
The Jet.
Ah, I was asking come on, Nick. Come I know
on,
you would know.
Come on. Got to bring something more than that. Please. What else we got going? Do you see we're
at the top of the hour. We should probably take a break.
Where Caitlin Clark opened up her bidding for shoe endorsement deal.
Oh, yeah?
And I guess Nike, who she ultimately signed with, Nike and Adidas came in, and then Puma was in.
Oh, I heard about
that. And they said the bidding starts at $3 million, and Puma was like, yeah, we'll see ourselves out.
But see, that's the thing. Puma actually was like accruing a decent number of celebrities for a little while.
I remember in high school.
Freshest man in golf, Ricky Fowler, was like the first one. But
I remember I told because my dad's big into the stock market. I was like, you should get into the Puma basketball because they're signing a lot of big names right now. I think it was like Marv at the time. He was a big name. Marvin Bagley.
Sure.
Something like all these other guys. None of them panned out to be good.
They did not identify the right people.
No.
So
they were top five picks. They just sucked.
Yeah, nothing really
you know,
came from it.
Warp. Pumas or Pumas, however you want to say it, back in the day, which made them a big deal in New York.
Ew.
Walt Clyde Frazier.
I knew that. I knew that. I meant to say
low cut Pumas.
Yeah.
Clyde.
They what was
with
the name of their
color
shoe?
Shoelaces. I don't know why.
What was the name of their signature shoe? I can't remember what it was. It was
the Clyde.
No, it's I forgot what they're I like Puma. I love Puma apparel. It's probably my favorite apparel. I love Puma apparel. But their shoes are, they make Nike shoes seem like snowshoes. They are the most narrow shoes ever.
Puma is?
Puma. Oh. I was post-vitality. I was at my skinniest. And I couldn't, these shoes, it took forever for me to break them in because they were so narrow.
This must be a woman's shoe. The Puma Carina is one of the brand's most well-known classic sneakers.
Because I put a poll up. I said, what's the best shoe? The Jordans, the Puma. I can't remember what their signature.
I Adidas played in the era of before the shakeout. Like there was Converse was still in alive and kicking. Now they're owned by Nike now, but they're still in there. They have the brand and the Chucks are popular, but they had their own suede. That was the thing when all the suede shoes came out. That was the big thing. They had all these different color Converses, and Dr. J played in Converse. I think I know that. I'm pretty sure Denny was with Converse for a while.
Yeah, how did anybody play with Converse?
Why?
No, I mean I've never owned a pair of Chucks.
Like Chuck Taylors.
I've never owned a pair of Chuck Taylors.
Chucks are what everybody played in when I was a kid.
No, I know, but I mean, it looked like they didn't have any ankle support.
Oh no! Funniest thing: if you make a franchise mode in 2K and like you start drafting random players like later in the future, some players just have Chuck Taylors on, and it looks so funny because everyone's balling up, and then I'm like, those shoes look really thin. Like,
they were canvas. I mean, they were canvas.
Yeah, I mean, they look cool as hell.
But I mean, I was never of the belief they gave your ankle much support anyway, high tops. I always thought that was a fallacy, which I think right. it is. So for a long time, the shoe of choice when I was middle school, going into high school, everybody wore low tops. Everybody wore low tops.
Right.
It was, but there were a whole bunch of them. There was the Adidas Shell Toe.
Right. The Superstar. The Superstar.
Adidas Superstar, which was my favorite. That was
That's my favorite shoe. I love that shoe.
But I actually played my senior year in high school with Pro Keds.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And they were the heaviest shoes. If ever we had a fight, if a fight broke out, I would have just run up to the opposition and started kicking them because this is like swinging a sledgehammer. I mean, that was really smart. Not that I was slow enough to begin with, and now I got two bowling balls strapped to my ankles. But Pro Keds, Clyde was playing in Pumas. That was a big deal. Pony.
I was about to say Pony.
My brother Jim
the Pony brand.
Was with Pony and sent me shoes for my Kutztown University team because we were Division II. To have shoes donated was a big deal, not have to buy them. So we had Ponies. I guess Reebok had already come around by that time. I'm forgetting some other shoe companies, but I know there were more. There was, I'm forgetting some. There was the big three were Adidas and Converse and Nike, and then Pony and Puma and Pro Keds and, there was another
Converse,
one.
Puma. New Balance hadn't come
New
out yet.
No, they did, I think. I think they did. Let me go find out the shoes.
Umbro or Diadora never. No. They're soccer, I know, but like they never had like ventured into anything else.
There was another one called Sauconies.
Wow.
Yeah, that's another one that was a big deal. I remember those. My dad had a pair of those.
Oh, Tony Kubek, by the way.
Tony Kubek, very nice choice. How could I forget that?
Dale, our man Dale from Ruth's Chris.
Good work
coming
out
through
of you.
With that. New York Yankee.
I don't know. Did Fila exist that far back?
Maybe.
I don't know.
What about Champ?
Basketball shoes Champion? Popular in the 70s.
Russell?
Puma had their signature low-top shoes. Converse came back with their weapons worn by Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. This is I don't know why we're so fascinated by this, but I think we are. I think people are. On the court since 1907, Converse became synonymous with basketball. By about 1917, just about every serious player had all Converse All-Stars on their feet. But with Converse becoming a household name, you didn't have to be a star to be in the show. Just about everyone owned a pair. Converse's authentic Chuck Taylor All-Stars were the first brand of basketball shoe to dominate the game. They did. Tell them, when I was a kid, everybody wore them. Everybody wore Chuck Taylors.
And really?
Then, yeah. And then Nike came on the scene in the early to mid-70s. They were the first ones to say, why are we just conceding this market to them? So they came in, and they really stuck it to Converse because their shoe was way more dramatic. And so Converse had to answer with that weapon shoe that Magic wore and Larry Bird wore. And that's when the
shoe battle
the
really.
Shoe battle started with the suede. That's when. And then everybody was involved in. Puma was involved in. Pony was involved in. My Pro Keds.
What was
10 pounds Pro Keds.
Soonergeist? What was that one
Saucony.
Called? Saucony. Saucony.
Yeah, Sauconies. They made a shoe called the Beta Bullet.
The Beta Bullet.
You know why? Because they were
for the Washington
for
Bullets?
As they were known then, the Baltimore Bullets.
Ah. So there you go.
All right. We'll take a break and then we'll come back, but not before. All right. What is he saying?
Not before what?
Huh? He likes to do what you used to do. When we first started, Nick would do this in my ear. So I'd be talking in that ear. And I said, what are you? I don't know what that is.
I think he was just saying we need a break. Is
Did
that
you
what
say
you're
break?
Saying? I speak Tannerese.
Yeah, no, I was like, we need a break. But then you just started saying it. So like, as I was saying it, you started talking.
Oh, okay.
And I was
so
like,
you,
yep. All right.
So you bailed. Okay, gotcha. But we're not completely breaking because what I'm telling you about is this time of year. What a gorgeous day today. Doesn't mean it's going to stay that way because this is the time of year. Spring is here, and it's only going to get hotter, but it's also going to have some cold days as well. And you know what? When it gets hotter, don't cool off the outside air this year, which is what you do if you turn your air conditioning on with old, bad, badly sealed windows. Call my guys at Universal Windows Direct. They have super spacer technology. What does that do? Well, the edge of the window is sealed better and longer. The windows last up to 5 times longer. So your windows from Universal Windows Direct, they perform better and they come to you with a true 20-year warranty. How about that? That is a nice warranty for windows. So call Universal Windows Direct today, and what kind of deals do they have? Well, I'll tell you a couple. One, first of all, here's the number, 502-487-5099. For every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. Buy two, get two. Buy four, get four. Buy 20, get 20. There's no limit. That's a fabulous deal. Plus, and here's the other part of that deal, 0% financing for 60 months, which is five whole years. Updating your windows with Universal Windows Direct means extra protection from the elephants. They're not that
strong.
Watch
out for the elephants.
In fairness, they're not quite that strong. If an elephant charges, I'm not sure the windows will not break. But
that would be awesome, though, if they could. I'd love my windows.
That would you have. I'm not sure why you need that kind of protection unless you're planning to build a house in the middle of a jungle safari. But nonetheless, if you are living like the rest of us here in a normal civilized society, then you just want to be protected from the elements. You'll have a consistent temperature in your home, increased energy efficiency, reduced heating and cooling costs, and a quieter and more comfortable home. The number, 502-487-5099. You can schedule your free in-home estimate today. And as I've told you already, for every window you buy, you'll get one free. No limit. Take advantage of that. 5 years, 0% financing. Restrictions apply. Tell them I told you to call. You'll get an additional $250 off your project. For the last windows you'll ever need, go to UWD.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. Back with more ESPN 680-1057.
Seba into a hard screen, bobbles the dribble, Hancock goes after, can't get it, Blackshear does, gives to Seba, lobs it, and a slam power dunk by Harrell. And just like that, Louisville has the lead.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by AL81.
LA, the soft drink of tomorrow. LA, a new kind of taste. LA, the soft drink of tomorrow. LA, it's from another place.
Crisp, clean, L.A.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network.
I don't know. I saw this ad.
I know we're on the air.
Wait, we're back?
Yeah.
Outback, I'm just saying, they got steak and lobster for $20.
Who does?
Outback does. I saw that advertised.
Okay. Another non-sponsor of ours that we're giving some love out to.
We do have TVs.
Texter says, so you're saying if I get Universal Windows, I can drop my elephant insurance. Yes, I think you can. We talked about that. And then also,
potentially,
right about this, Texter also said, if you're a kid, and those of us who are kids longer than we care to remember, the two shoes that you wore were PF Flyers or Keds. And Keds were my favorite. The PF Flyers, they sucked.
Why did they stink so bad? Because I thought you
didn't get any traction. They were just badly made. Keds had a little.
But you, what was the saying? You could run faster.
Run faster, jump higher with PF Flyers. And that's
and
why.
Did you?
No. It's false advertising. Not to be confused with the fabulous actress Julie Harris. Julie Howell is here with us from the Louisville Sports Commission, and we always welcome her in studio. And how are you? Did you have PF Flyers or Keds?
I did not. I wore Chucks a lot.
Chucks, yeah, that was
it. Chucks are a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chucks were.
And Chucks have, made a resurgence lately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the cool kids. What's bad about that, though, is that, like, when I was a kid, Chucks were, like, $8. And then even before they became trendy, that you could get them for, like, $25. And now they're trendy. And now they're expensive as hell. They're, like, buying a pair of.
They're hip. Yeah. They're popular.
Your whole generation ruins everything.
Yeah, we do.
So there you go. So what's going on, Julie? Why are we here?
Well, we're here to talk about the golden ticket because we're going to draw in, 4 days? We draw Tuesday morning. Nice. And the first thing our winner will get to go to will be the Oaks in the Derby.
Nice.
And when I left the office about 45 minutes ago, we had 30 tickets left.
Oh, you can still get in.
So you can still get in. If you don't have your tickets for the 150th, this is a great way. We're only selling 350 tickets.
Wow.
Tickets are $100 each.
Can't beat that. Do you know the price, the average price of a Derby ticket in 15 maybe, less than 10 years has tripled.
I believe it.
Yeah, it's tripled.
And yes, we got sticker shock when we received our invoice this year. So, yes, I do believe it.
How do you do? It made a giant bounce back up after COVID when they reopened it to full
everybody got all giddy right. and excited.
Well, and they, at that point, they started including food and beverage with all the tickets.
Oh, that's right.
And so they had not done that pre-COVID. And then in COVID, I guess, eliminating that point of sale, that transaction, that time, helped them with lines and all that. And they're like, yeah, why not? So you are getting something for that increase.
Isn't it amazing, by the way, before we get specifically into what's going on with the Louisville Sports Commission, how because of COVID, so many things that we never considered have become de facto now. Like, for example, who was getting food delivered? That was not a thing before COVID. That was, I mean, other than you got a pizza,
you
like
pizza
a
or pizza Chinese or something.
Food or something. Yeah. But now everything, quite literally everything.
Medicine.
Hamburger joints.
Yeah.
Medicine.
One of my coworkers the other day, he was talking about, you know, he felt bad over the weekend and he got stuff delivered from CVS. And yep. I was like, he did what? And he was like, you can DoorDash anything.
Anything. Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, my parents would get, you know, the local pharmacist would do home delivery. If you, ostensibly, you were so sick, they would bring it to your – hell, the doctor would make house calls. But that's not what this is. This is a byproduct of nobody going out during COVID, and they're delivering everything, quite literally everything. It's just I guess it's good in a way if you're hungry. Just you don't have to go anywhere and get to be DoorDashed. But it is wild. Although I do – my caveat, you'll appreciate this – when I'm on the road, like a lot of times we'll get back after a game and it's late and I don't want to go back out, so I order DoorDash and I have the app on the phone. If you don't change the city you're in from where you were last, it automatically takes you back there.
Well, I've done that before.
Oh, no. So I'm ordering.
I've ordered pizzas from St. Louis.
And the guy's calling me. He's like, I can't find this. What street are you on? Maple Street. It's right across the street. Look, there's a gas station. You don't see anything. There's nothing across the street. There's nothing. And I was like, oh, sorry.
I'm in the wrong state.
I'm in St. Louis. St. Louis. I'm in Indianapolis. Well, enjoy your meal.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah. All right. All right, so we got the tickets. You can go to the webpage and you can purchase them there.
LouisvilleSports.org.
All right, so there's that, the first order of business. Can people still get involved in the corporate games?
You can, yeah. So there's about, 6 weeks until the corporate games,
which
is on June 1st. Are you ready?
Well, yeah, we're winning the damn dodgeball this year. I don't care.
Well, I was picking my events because I think I'm going to pick three.
Bocce, you got to do bocce.
One.
We added it for
the
you.
Golf chipping is another.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Kill me. And
your short game kind of sucks, though. No, I'm just kidding. My short game.
Nice.
My short. True. Yeah. I hit it so short. I have to have a good short game. So you didn't know what he's talking about. What's the other one I wanted to sign up for? Not dodgeball is not going to be it.
Free throws. Were you doing the free throw one?
No. Back in my day, I could.
Lawn pong.
I led my team in free throw percentage my senior year.
That's very white
80%.
Of you.
Wow. Oh, that's fantastic.
Wait, he's just sassy
he's
today.
He's very hard. He's very hard on me.
I'm just jealous because I'm the worst shooter ever.
Go through the events again.
Oh, man, there's so many. There's the football toss.
No, I'm not doing that.
There's isn't there putting? There was
no.
There putting or just chipping?
Not, just
chipping. That's right. Bocce, cornhole, lawn pong, 3-on-3 basketball, 3-on-3 soccer.
4-on-4 soccer.
4-on-4 soccer, that's right. Ooh, there's pickleball.
There's pickleball. There's volleyball.
Volleyball, right.
Tug-of-war.
Tug-of-war.
Well, that's definitely
which
not.
We were.
Well, I should be in the back. Just
We back. Showed up for tug-of-war, and we were kind of like, okay, maybe. Like, we have the girl that was on our team, Chrissy Banta, does powerlifting. She's very strong.
Wow.
So we were like, maybe, you know, maybe we got a chance. We got somebody that is pretty strong, and we show up and we're going up against a man that looked like he was part fire hydrant. Like he looked like the genetic crossing of an elephant and a fire hydrant. And he was very nice, but he just showed up looking like the mountain from Game of Thrones. And we're like, yeah, we're not winning this one. Oh. The man single-handedly almost yanked us over the line by himself. It was incredible.
All right. So here's the bracketed events and the competitive events. And then I found my third one. The bracketed events are 3-on-3 basketball, 4-on-4 soccer, bocce, cornhole, dodgeball, lawn pong, pickleball, relay race, tug of war, and volleyball. And in case you didn't notice, that was in alphabetical order as I read them to you.
That was impressive.
Competitive events are basketball shootout, disc golf. Ooh, I'd like to. I'm not that good at that, but I'd like to play that. That's fun. Football throw, frisbee toss. What's the difference between frisbee toss and disc golf? Just for distance?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Okay. A golf chip challenge. I like that. Lacrosse shot. The water balloon toss. I would definitely get in that.
Not with you as my partner.
I was just saying, I was like, whoa, what the? No, why not me? Wait, why not me?
Because your idea of playing in the water balloon toast would be to crow hop and fire it at me.
I would not. Just.
The water balloon is a gentle give with the water balloon.
I can be gentle.
There you go. So,
Julie, back me up.
I don't
here.
Have a dog in this fight.
Is that an event? Bocce will be one for me and the
golf chip.
The golf chip.
Digging that. And then, I don't know, I see about one. Water balloon toss. Five participants, two females. How does that work exactly?
I'm not sure.
You line up in a line.
Okay.
And I think there's 5 feet in between you or and 10 you feet maybe.
Pass
and
it
you,
down the line.
And you have to toss it. And okay. if you break, and oh. so you have 2 minutes.
To see how many you can do.
Right. And you start with so many, and then and then at the end, it's based on how many balloons you did not burst.
It's a five-person team? Uh-oh. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. You might. I might have to be in the line. We'll see.
Five participants and two females. I don't. As long as I'm not throwing it, catching it from you. Or tossing it.
As long as you don't have to interact with me.
Yes, like, as long as I can just watch you and shake my head at the other. No, you'd be good in some of these.
I was good in some of these.
He played most all of them last year.
Yeah, I cramped up because I played so many.
Lawn pong sounds interesting. Is that with a big ball where you throw it in the giant cups?
Yeah, yep. Like the giant,
beer pong.
Yeah. It's like giant beer pong.
That was fun. Played that. It was fun, but it was fast paced.
And it's hard.
Yeah, it was really
fast paced.
Yeah, because you're going simultaneously. It's not like.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, it's.
You're
yeah.
playing against another team.
Yeah, but I thought it was like in beer pong. You throw
no,
a ball
no, no,
and
no,
they
no.
throw it back.
It's that same skill, but you're playing with your team. So it's 4-on-4. Basically.
And they're throwing it at your end. You're throwing it.
Yeah,
end,
and then so you're trying to grab the balls and move the. Yeah, it can get rather
and
hectic.
You have a 2 minute time limit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's fun. It's really fun. But yeah, it was hectic. Right. But there is cornhole. You're pretty good at cornhole.
Yeah, I'm meh. I'm conversational in cornhole.
Yeah.
I'm not eloquent in cornhole.
Well, you do not have to be great at everything, Bob.
Yes, you do.
No, we're going for glory this year. Louisville.
Did you almost win anything last year?
Did we almost win anything? How dare you? How dare you? It came down to me and this lovely gentleman, because he was very nice. He was a very nice guy. From Texas Roadhouse. We went 1v1. In dodgeball.
The championship game. It was down to just the two of them.
It was me and this other guy, and he caught me on my toe with these cursed giant feet of mine. Got me right on my big toe and eliminated me.
No.
And so it came.
So you didn't get anything.
Yeah. He was a really nice guy, though. Like, I just shook his hand. He was pumped. And I was disappointed, but I was out of gas. I got to be honest.
It is a great idea. The Corpus Games take place on Saturday, June 1st from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at Kentucky Country Day. So if you again, same thing. You can always go to the Sports Commission's website, and you can sign up for that as well. So
companies of any size are welcome.
My son Jamie, who's the chair of the Kentucky Anna Friends of V, said, make sure you ask Julie about, you know, you want to come play bocce with us, and you can get a team together for that, a team or two together for that. That would be
we'd love to have
sexy
you.
And tasty.
And you can get a little bit of, you know. See, like a warm up too to the corporate games.
Yep. Maybe. Well, and I've been pushing that to all of our corporate games teams,
yay,
telling them
thank
because
you.
Bocce is new to corporate games.
Yeah, so they'll get a
I've been saying, hey,
a trial run at our place.
Yep.
Plus, you
do you get
to
compete in any of the corporate games? Or are you too busy,
no,
you know, kind of facilitating?
I'm too busy.
Them? Facilitating, yeah, yeah, makes sense.
We
makes
did
sense.
Have a, you know, you mentioned Texas Roadhouse and dodgeball. I just got back from Austin, and three of our team went down to Austin and produced a corporate games for Texas Roadhouse and their national conference that went on.
Oh, wow.
And we shipped all of our equipment down there on a semi, and we were down there for 3 days.
You were a roadie.
And I was a roadie for 3 days. And we got to play a little bit down there, so it was fun.
Nice.
And we play the events, like lawn pong, you mentioned. Like
it's fun.
We created it in COVID, and we went out to Sawyer Park, and we had about 10 or 15 different sizes of garbage cans. We had basketballs, volleyball, soccer, beach balls, trying to figure out which bounce worked best. And we had a really good time doing it. So we get to play every once in a while.
Disc golf is great fun. There's where the old River Road Country Club used to be. There's a disc golf course there.
Why don't you play that one?
Because I've watched the guys who play.
Oh, they're really good.
And they're ridiculous. I mean, I don't even have the right kind of discs. You know, they have the ones that you buy in the store that they could throw for like a half
a mile. It's like a golf bag. They have different shots. Yes. Yeah.
Well, we have discs at Corporate Games for you. And I can tell you, last year was the first year for disc golf, and nobody did well.
Oh, well, that's right up my wheel. So what she's saying is that's made for you.
I'm saying you don't have to be skilled.
All right, well, think about that. I'm going to give, because that's fun. And this is supposed to be fun, after all.
It was a blast. It was fantastic. But what we need is we just didn't have enough bodies last year. And we lost points because we weren't able to logistically compete in all the events. So even if your happy ass just shows up and plays the disc golf.
My ego's swelling with this conversation.
Is Lieberman coming this year?
Leibs played a lot last year.
Him and I
led the team in minutes played. Hopefully Leibs will be,
My favorite story, as I told this last time she was here, because this is so perfectly Lieberman.
Leibs gets in.
Yeah. You guys have got all these events going on, and you have to hustle from one to the other, and you are exhausted. And he shanghaied some woman who was driving one of your golf carts, because that's not what she's there for. And he's like, hey, wait, can I hop a ride? And she's like, sure, hop in. And there he is getting cruised across the
A VIP. It was very, very good work out of Coach Leibs. It was very good work out of Leibs.
Well, and when you all told me, I didn't know that. You guys told me. I'm like, well, no wonder, because I kept thinking,
How did he get here?
I just saw him over at 3-on-3 basketball, and he's at dodgeball now?
Second.
You know.
It's so the second time I'm using this reference in the show, but he's here. He's there.
Oh, yeah.
He's Roy Kent. And where? He's Mark Lieberman. He's Mark
Coach Leibs. Yeah.
All right. Anything else we need to know about here?
One more time for the golden ticket.
Golden ticket. 30 tickets left. You get Oaks and Derby. But then you also get two tickets to every Bats home game, every Lou City home game. You pick Kentucky or U of L, and you get two tickets to every home football game, every home basketball game.
Wow.
So we keep talking about Oaks and Derby because, you know, the 150
is right around the corner.
That's right around the corner. But you also get everything else. And the best part about it is all the proceeds go to support our youth programming that gets sports and sports equipment into the marginalized communities here in Louisville.
Very cool.
Tasty.
Very cool indeed. All right, kiddo. Great seeing you.
Good to see you guys. Happy Derby.
Yay. Happy Derby.
Happy playoffs.
Yeah, happy playoffs.
Yes, happy playoffs.
Best time of the sports calendar, in my humble opinion.
Oh, I don't know about best, but it is pretty good.
Well, starting from March Madness. Sorry. Yeah, okay. You have to have add March Madness. From March Madness to the end of the NBA playoffs, in my opinion, is the best three-month sports calendar. Maybe 4 months. I know I miss football.
By the time he's done, it's going to be from January 1st, the New Year's Bowl games, there's that football game on New Year's Eve. That window, I desperately miss football. 12 months is fantastic.
I desperately miss football, but you get the spring game mixed in there. You get the NFL draft. You can watch a little UFL football, you know, like, but you have the playoffs.
That's why you
going.
Have a hard time persuading people, because there's no real meaningful football here.
No, I know, but I'm saying, what do you have? You have March Madness.
Oh, I agree.
You have the Masters. You have the PGA. You have the Derby. You have the NBA playoffs. You have the NHL playoffs. You have the draft. You have the spring game for football. There's a lot of off-season stuff going on, too, with transfer portal and everything like that.
And there's Major League regular season. There's baseball
season. How could I forget MLB opening day?
Right.
Like, so.
Which is the promise of spring.
It is. That's why it's the best, this three-month period. From mid-March to, I'm bad at math, end of May, I'd say.
But no football.
No football. I know.
I read where Commissioner Goodell he's not a fan of preseason games anyway. So we might, you know, get toward fewer preseason games.
They should go away.
There's so many.
There are now.
There's so many now.
Well, no, the preseason games is not remote. There's two. There used to be five.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They cut them down.
They cut them down.
And then the season's longer. Right.
14 games. Now there's 19.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
That's a weird game to play that long. Yeah. I mean, that's – you know what they really should think about doing if that's the case? Get rid of the preseason games altogether and build in more buys.
Build in more.
Give them a week to recover. Play like everybody plays 3 weeks and it takes a week off. And they're on staggered schedules. And the season starts like in July 1st.
Right.
And then, you know, do it that way. And people will watch football any
They
time
will.
Time of day of the week.
And then, I mean, you look at these teams that play those Thursday games and, you know, sometimes have those shorter weeks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And they, I mean, that's tough.
Proven and that the and injuries that has, increase.
Exactly, it has. Yeah, it's proven that those that's short weeks hurt them. So, you know, an extra bye week every once in a while is not a bad thing.
Throw yeah.
See, no, they just like need that. To ask us for ideas.
Oh, we just all. Fixed it. Yeah. We just fixed it.
No question. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back and wrap up the show here on ESPN 680 105.7.
Hooray.
Thanks.
Hooray. Thanks, guys.
Hooray. Thanks for that.
A luxury like no other, every natural diamond from Davis Jewelers is one of a kind. You see, your gift of a natural diamond began its journey over 3 billion years ago, over 100 miles deep within the earth. Its beauty and brilliance today is matched only by its enduring value.
These timeless gemstones remain with us forever, passed down for generations as cherished family heirlooms. I'm Ashley Davis.
And I'm Hank Davis. Here at Davis Jewelers, you'll find Kentuckiana's most stunning collection of natural GIA-graded diamonds. And I still personally hand-select every Davis diamond for maximum beauty and timeless value.
A natural diamond is a luxury like no other.
So giving one this holiday from Davis Jewelers is truly the gift that lasts forever.
Because love, it's what we do.
To discover the latest natural diamond jewelry, visit Davis Jewelers in Louisville, just off North Hurstbourne and at davisjewelers.com.
This year marks a milestone for Carlin Roofing and Sheet Metal. 40 years ago in 1984 is when Carlin Roofing began serving the Louisville community. Today, they are still A-plus rated from the BBB and have taken care of many of our listeners when it comes to their roofing needs. Whether it's just a few shingles, an entire roof replacement, helping out with your insurance, or a commercial flat roof, Carlin Roofing and Sheet Metal can handle any job. They can even handle your gutters. Look them up online at carlinroofs.com. CARLONroofs.com.
Every day, Cintas service reps help businesses get ready for the workday. They provide freshly laundered workwear delivered every week. Mats, mops, restroom, and cleaning supplies. First aid and safety products to help your employees stay safe. They even test and inspect fire extinguishers and emergency lights. Cintas helps keep your business running smoothly. See what Cintas can do for you. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Don't sweat a swing and miss thanks to insurance tokens from BetMGM. Add an MLB wager to your bet slip and activate your bet insurance token. If your bet with the token applied doesn't hit, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to a specified maximum amount. That's another chance to step up to the plate and bet on the action out there on the diamond. Baseball is America's national pastime, and BetMGM's favorite pastime is making the sport even more amazing for fans. Whether you want to bet on a no-run first inning, try a signature bet, or take a home run prop, BetMGM has a loaded lineup for all nine innings all season long. Go to your BetMGM account today to claim your bet insurance token and get your stake back in bonus bets if your MLB wager using the token doesn't win. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks and official sports betting partner of MLB. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Kentucky only. Existing customer offer subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Unseva into a hard screen, bobbles the dribble, Hancock goes after, can't get it, Blackshear does, gives to Seva, lobs it, and a slam power dunk by Harold. And just like that, Louisville has the lead.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by AL81.
LA, the soft drink of tomorrow. LA, a new kind of taste. LA, the soft drink of tomorrow. LA, it's from another place.
Crisp, clean, L.A.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNV network.
Texter says, don't forget Red Ball Jets. I don't know them. It's a shoe.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that one?
I don't remember that one. Red Ball Red Jets. Ball Do you Jets. Know that one, Tulio?
Sounds like a drink.
It does.
Like a Red Ball Jet, please, straight up, and he'll have the... Let's come up. That would be a great poll.
Red Bull.
You should
Jet.
Find four drinks and put on the poll, and one of them is a fake drink, and they have to identify which one that is. Like, you know, names of drinks.
I would do the Red Ball Jet, but...
Well, now we gave that one yeah. away. But like, you know, the... I'm trying to think of, I don't know, some really obscure drink names.
Is it... Well, that could be a thing. Is it a...
Yeah, they used to do that awful
thing. Is it a drink or what, though? Is it a drink or a sex move? That could be.
Maybe, I guess. Your boy Sofro, very interesting. For anyone trying to rock the PKs this season, your resident private investigator did some digging following the V Show and Nikki Vespin's interview with Louisville head coach Pat Kelsey today, and I believe I located the signature glasses. They ain't the cheapest, but here you go. And he did go to Len. Sorry, I mean, Mark Len is a big sponsor at U of L. I feel bad that he brought that up, actually. I felt bad when Kelsey said that. I was thinking, like, oops, maybe you shouldn't have said that. But evidently, these are Tom Ford's. That's what they're called.
Tom Ford's?
Tom Ford frames.
Yeah, they're expensive.
Holy crap. He's doing okay for himself. You're doing okay, Kels, aren't you? Holy Toledo. You want to take a wild stab at what the frame costs? Just the frame.
200.
No.
Whoa, way more than that. Wow. All right, 500.
All right, a little bit lower.
400. 450. 475. 465.
On the button.
Hey.
465 for those? Yep. Dang, because I want to get a pair.
Yeah,
do you think they rose up in price, though? When
maybe. Like, that's a good point.
But only in this region, though?
Yeah, only in the, if we were to go buy those in
Pittsburgh. Because I don't think
LensCrafters.
Well, phones know everything, but I don't think they know I'm looking from here. So I think that's just what they cost. Tom Ford glasses, $465. Kels, God bless you. That was my favorite line. One of my favorite lines of the whole thing. What's with the glasses? Well, A, I need them to see.
Yeah, that was the best line. That was the best reply ever. It's like, well, Bob.
I need them to see. That was very entertaining. And it's great because it's already elicited a little of the back and forth banter of our colleagues here, because Sofaro said, I better be seeing Steve Rummage in these by the red white tip off.
Rummage could rock him, I feel like.
Round Daddy responded, remember when you used to criticize me doing honk radio? Brother, this is a whole different level. So Sofaro wrote back, and they're on
the got a shirt,
offense.
Though. So
and they're off and running. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, we all love
Streeple. I love the pot being stirred though with Streeple right now.
No, we all love
Big
Streeple,
Boy Search.
But he is such a UK terrorist when it comes to
I don't do that about anything because it's always going to come up and bite you in the ass. I mean, no matter when you get way out over your skis, unless you're batting 1,000, you're going to say something incredibly
unless you're writing down
stupid.
The orders, you know.
Unless you're right, so it's like not writing down an order in a restaurant. You're just looking for trouble. You know what I'm saying?
No, that was mean. Hey, I'm just saying, you should see me work. Your boy bats pretty good. Like
I
said,
I'm
like a 950.
Good. It's just it is funny.
Like I said, I no one's perfect, but I think I'm batting like 950.
Locke weighing in, of course. God bless him. He's not working here, but still gets involved in the discussions. Sofro,
he misses it. You know he misses
Sofro
it.
Sofro said, man, you get comfortable wearing your Pope's Cathedral gilded shirt and your starting five of saltines. I'm upping my glasses game. I don't even know what the hell that means.
the saltines one? Do you not get that one?
No.
It's a bunch of white guys.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
Saltines are.
And you're starting five of saltines. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So Locke says, gilded shirt and starting five of saltines. Because, you know, Locke loves when they're cracking on UK. That's one of his favorite things in the world. And Round Daddy said, my shirt is home field apparel. Thank you very much. So is that a thing?
I think so.
Home field apparel?
Yeah, it's a brand.
Right. So there you go. So that's... if you missed that interview, you won't want to.
Yeah, we'll have it up on the podcast center momentarily.
Yeah, he was fun, man. He was a fun. Why isn't he doing riders up at the Derby? Martha Stewart, really? Is that who's doing riders up?
Yeah,
at the
she's
Derby?
Doing riders up. By the way,
riders up, please.
I don't want to mess this up, but it made me very happy because I was listening to the Diener Show earlier this week.
Okay.
And Blankenbaker like had a me moment where he basically repeated exactly what Drew had just been talking about. Like he tuned out or he forgot that he had said something before.
Okay.
And he was reacting to the news of Martha Stewart being announced as Riders Up.
Okay.
And like Drew had just said that and like he like followed it up and it just made me so happy. I was like, kindred spirits, blah blank. You know, doing, I call it the co-host tune out.
It happens. It happens to producers, too.
Yeah. No, yeah, it happened. That was one of the best. Do you remember? No, you don't remember.
He wasn't here.
Phil and I were filling in for you, and
it was like just when the NFL offseason happened. So like signings and trades are happening,
and Phil literally just got done talking about a trade. And Tanner comes flying in. He's like, breaking news. And Phil just goes, wait for it. And Tanner breaks the news that Phil had just said on the air. It was so perfect.
Credit to Phil, though. I thought he was like, he didn't know what was going on. He's like, oh, what's this? And I was like, oh, this guy's interested in that.
That's quality.
He got me. He got
now
me.
I know why you fit into the show so well. That is so on brand. Absolutely.
Perfect.
That. All right. What's going on tonight? Very quick. I'd like to do a spontaneous parlay, but no time to do that. But I can tell you what you'll be looking for in the playoffs scene for tonight, and starting in the National Basketball Association, where we've got game number 3 in a series that's tied at 1-1 in Indianapolis. I thought about driving up there, to be honest with you. That'd be fun. Entertaining.
We've seen a Pacers playoff game.
Pacers are 6.5-point favorites.
Giannis is out.
How about that, Mikey? Dallas and the Clippers. That series is tied at 1.
Giannis is still out, right?
I don't know. And Phoenix and Minnesota. Minnesota, validating their regular season. They're off to a 2-0 start in that series. But Phoenix 4.5-point favorites in that one. In the National Hockey League, the Rangers go to Washington leading 2-0. They are minus 175 favorites in that. Nashville at home for Vancouver, game 3. That series tied at 1. Colorado at home against Winnipeg. That's been a high-scoring series so far. That series is tied at 1. And then L.A. home to Edmonton. That series is tied at 1. So the NHL living up to its name of the early round possible upsets as the teams are those playoff series, very, very competitive in the early going. The Reds in action. They have a rough stretch of schedule coming up here. They play the Cincinnati Reds, take on Texas. Texas is good at baseball, and they play them. They start their series with them tonight, and then their schedule takes them to San Diego. They're on the road in Texas. Then they go to San Diego, and then they go to Baltimore, comes in, and Baltimore is 16-8 on the year. So the next three series not going to be easy ones for the Cincinnati Red Legs. What did you say? You said something. I don't know what you said.
Closeout music coming out soon.
If you're not on the air, well, you don't have to whisper. You can actually talk in my ear because they can't hear it. See, that's how it works. If you hit this button, they can hear it. If you hit that button,
don't. That'll drop us off the air. I'm talking away.
You can't hear me because if I hit that button, you can.
You know, it's a cough up. Well, if I turn my mic in.
No, then you'd be wrecking it. You'd be undermining it.
I remember my first day here, this button right here, and I like Moon. You guys were on remote or something, and Moon was showing me around the studio. I was like, "What's this doing?" I hit it twice. He's like, "Yeah, you just knocked us off the air for 20 seconds."
Nice. You like
it was my first day here. I was like, "Fantastic."
Pointy haired boss and Dilbert. They give him a thing, and it says, "Whatever you do, don't hit the blue button." And of course, that's the only thing going through.
I hit the red button.
Must hit blue button. Must hit blue button. Must hit blue button. So there you go. Have a great weekend, everybody. Unless you know something I don't, we'll be back with you on Monday. My guess is there'll be a lot more news from the portal, if nothing else.
Woo.
And we'll be really the onset of Derby Week. We'll start focusing a little bit more on that as well. You guys be safe. Take care of yourself. Strable's next. CSPN 680 105.7.
Have a good weekend, everyone.